The story of the war in Bosnia is one of deep betrayals. Betrayal at the political, ethnic, and even family levels. Today, many refugees who fled Bosnia or Croatia find themselves still living in Yugoslavia. They've lost their homes, their ties to their land, and in many cases, their families. And due to a lack of political agreements between Bosnia and Yugoslavia, they live without citizenship to either country. They live, as 62-year-old Ana Sestovic puts it, somewhere between the ground and the sky.
Kako ćemo? Ništa ne znamo. Još nemam nike šanse i budućnosti da bi mogla da kažem, sutra ću da se vratim. A imam želju da se vratim. Normalno, tam sam se rodila, tam sam radila, tam sam ostarila.
So she said that she planned to stay here some time. She can't back to her home and to her place of birth because everything, her house is burning and she haven't her house anymore, and she is in Yugoslavia, and she, like most of other people, will wait what will be happened with her in Yugoslavia.
Ana lives in a housing program for women refugees called La Stavica. It houses 8 women in Pančevo, a small town near Belgrade. La Stavica means swallow. It symbolizes their present migratory status, and Pančevo has 11,000 refugees in all, nearly one-fourth of the community's population. All of the women in this project come from the Croatian region of Krajina, an area where more than 200,000 people were expelled in August of 1995 by a Croatian military campaign aimed at Serbs. Most trekked the 300 miles to Yugoslavia. They didn't know what would lay ahead for them, facing only the hollowness that exile presents. Their route of travel was the late communist president Josip Tito's Brotherhood and Unity Highway. The name is itself a bitter reminder of all that has been lost since the disintegration of the former Yugoslavia. Sonja Stanisic is project coordinator. She says, unlike a couple of years ago, many of the women have now accepted they will likely never return home.
They just know that situation is different. They can't sit and wait for the similar or the same like they had, and they start from the beginning.
But for Ana, who only recently took up residence at the project, acceptance of her situation is only beginning to take root.
Ne vredi ništa. Kad se ne može.
And it's not easy for her to start from the beginning. Because when she back, if she back to Croatia, she have to start from the beginning. And she do not feel that she could do it. She said, I'm alone, I have a husband, I have daughter, but my daughter have her own family, and it's not easy for me to start from the beginning to build my life and to build my house and everything from the beginning. So I accept that I will stay here.
But Stanisic says accepting Yugoslavia as their new home is only the first step toward taking root in the new land and applying for citizenship. Because most of the women still hang on to the hope of returning, they're not ready to relinquish their legal ties to Bosnia or Croatia. But any lingering thread of hope is wearing thin, as stories from those who did take the risk to return make their way back to the housing project. Those who went back found they had no claims on their property. Many homes had been seized by the Bosnian army. Others returned only to find their property burned to the ground or smashed and looted. Because the countries have yet to work out dual citizenship, the women must remain as refugees in Yugoslavia. Stanisic says this puts them at an economic disadvantage.
So they are not citizens of this country, and in the situation when they try to find job, somebody who is citizen will find job easier. And somebody who is citizen also can't find job easy, so for refugees it is a really big problem. So most of them, although for example they are high education or something like that, work in some markets or try to sell some things on the black market or something like that, and I believe that they do not feel good in this situation.
Milica Perovic is 52 years old. In Croatia, she was a well-paid teacher. Today she drives the project's shuttle bus, unable to find employment in schools. Perovich says shortly after the war ended, there was a lot of economic assistance from non-governmental organizations. Today, she says, she feels abandoned. Support has dwindled in the wake of the Kosovo conflict and frustration other Western nations have over the Serbian government.
A svi su se povukli, da sad ne nabrajamo neki više, neki manje, neki nikako više, ni nakon što su spasili nekoga, potpuno su se povukli iz Jugoslavije.
And she said that in the beginning of the war and the first few years of the war, there was a lot of humanitarian organization, foreigners and domestic, and their aim was to save the lives. And she said, of course, it is important to save our lives, and most of our lives are safe, but what we have to do with our lives now?
Help from international relief organizations remains sporadic since the end of the war in Bosnia. Some soup kitchens have had to close for lack of supplies. Other kitchens serve up little more than broth or pasta with a few drops of oil and nothing else. Red Cross officials in the region say the need for humanitarian aid is high, but interest among donors is not. As a result, the Red Cross was faced with cutting back support on some programs, including soup kitchens and aid for economic development programs for refugees. But the women of Lastavica are attempting to take control of their own financial destiny. They're doing this by marketing crafts like tablecloths, weavings, and potholders to groups like peace organizations in the U.S. Lastavica's residents are also gaining a reputation for excellent cooking. A house-run catering business is getting the attention of social organizations and officials in Belgrade who are responsible for providing food at meetings. Stanisic says the women's confidence goes up when they feel they can be self-sufficient.
Next level of support to refugee group is if you help them to sell it off or to buy them from them something if you really need this. Whenever somebody like to support us in selling in market, it is very nice for us. Because in Yugoslavia economic situation is not so good, so it's not easy to sell products. So it's very good kind of support of refugee group if you help them to sell their products.
Lawrence Goldman is a native New Yorker who helps refugee women become thriving entrepreneurs in Yugoslavia. She says the catering business is just one of many examples.
The foundation of any economy is going to be a strong small. It's going to be small businesses. So at least to start feeling positive and feeling there's some room there that women can maybe possibly move.
Goldman says more and more women are beginning to open up small business ventures. Many recognize that the black market is not the only way to make money, but the remaining obstacles are many. Starting a small business is a huge financial risk when the nation's economy is continuing its downward spiral. As Goldman and others point out, it's never easy being a refugee, but what's even worse is being a refugee in a poor country where there's no credit. The economic, political, and social fragility of the region is rooted in ancient ethnic hatreds among Croats, Serbs, and Muslims. Now, with the conflict in Kosovo, past histories between Serbs and ethnic Albanians are at the core of disagreements and hatreds. Former Balkans bureau chief for the New York Times, Roger Cohen, says the theory is really far too simplistic, however. In his new book, Hearts Grown Brutal, Cohen says the war in Bosnia was not inevitable, as some in the international sphere have suggested.
People had been living together in Bosnia in peace for 50 years, since the end of the Second World War. There were Serbs, that's to say people of the Orthodox Christian religion, there were Croats or Catholics, and there were Bosnian Muslims, but those distinctions had ceased really to have very much meaning. These people were living together, certainly in the big towns like Sarajevo and Mostar. They were often intermarried. Their communities were all mixed. Their fishing clubs, their soccer clubs were all mixed. They didn't look at each other and think, oh, you're a stranger to me. And it took the introduction, I think, of a virus of nationalist hatred from on high, that's to say, from Slobodan Milosevic in Belgrade, Belgrade, and to a lesser extent from the Croat leader Tudjman in Zagreb, to suddenly push these people back into their ethnic identities, and then the killing began. When violence is introduced, when somebody shoots your child or something, it's very hard to stop that spiral once it starts. But I think before the war, people simply were not thinking in those terms. And of course, under Tito, who ruled for a long time after World War II under a communist system, religions were very much secondary. So those religious divisions really did not exist.
Does Cohen see much hope on the near horizon?
Not really. I don't see many signs of hope at the moment. I think in Bosnia, after an enormous investment of forces, American forces, money, Western money, we have had peace for 3 years, or at least the absence of war since Dayton. And of course, when people, you do drive through Bosnia now and see markets where people are mixing again, buying things off each other. You have to give it time for these economic links. Maybe some people from different communities will make friendships, fall in love. These are the kinds of things that gradually build up the links between people again. But I think that the American commitment of soldiers now to Bosnia, they're going to have to be there for 10 years minimum to act as a kind of, make Bosnia a kind of a protectorate, Western protectorate. While these links are slowly built up. So I see, I guess, faint signs of hope in Bosnia, but I think Kosovo will probably get worse before it gets better.
And as though relief organizations are not strained enough by the refugees left homeless by the Bosnian War, new arrivals crossing over the border of Kosovo every day are making the situation even more tense. This is Karen Louise Booth reporting. For Common Ground, this is Karen Louise Booth reporting.